May be seated. I'll be honest with you, we are a lost people. It's like we're a people, we remain in the wilderness, and it seems so because of our unwillingness to resign to the fact that we are God's children and that we're supposed to invest ourselves 100% into what it is that God is calling us to do. Now, the text in Jeremiah, the prophet, this morning is echoing that and referencing a time where Jerusalem had been conquered, its inhabitants were sent into exile, and it was not until this exile had ended and many of them returned home did we receive the message of the prophet here this morning. Yet the message is taking that of an old covenant and making it new, retelling the story of past covenants that God has made with God's people, maybe not in verbal terms right then and there, but the people would remember these covenants that they had learned over the course of their lives. God's covenant with Noah, covering all of creation, that all-encompassing covenant, never to destroy the world again. And then in Exodus, when the Israelites are chosen as God's people very early on in the story, like back in Egypt early, and then later another covenant is made with them that God's chosen, that a land is going to be given to them. But one beautiful aspect of God is that God's never-ending grace or forgiveness becomes evident there as they wandered around in the wilderness, and again as we've heard read today. You know, in Exodus we see this forgiveness arise through that whole golden calf incident. And again here today in the prophet Jeremiah. Yeah, see, this is a time where we as a people, as a society, we're broken, we're divided over issues. We and they've quarreled instead of embraced one another. They've hated instead of loved. They've berated instead of challenged. They've demanded instead of asked. They've come first. They come first, and then there might be some time left over for the rest of the folk. I remember this country being divided before as a child over certain issues. I remember one in particular that really stood out because it was on the news every single night at 6:30 as soon as Dan Rather came on. It was a standoff with the Branch Davidians. Y'all remember those guys? And David Koresh and the ultimate fate that we know fell upon those people. This guy was an extremist, but viewed by those who followed him as a prophet, speaking the word of God, someone who could brainwash people into blindly following him into this form of fanaticism, or as they saw it, as Christianity, as Christendom, and would leave the world in shock that someone could do that in the name of God and in their faith of God. One of them golden calf moments, so to speak. But now it seems as though that same kind of radicalism seems to be pretty doggone mainstream and force-fed to us throughout the last few decades in a grassroots manner. And then ultimately exacerbated through social media to the point of a wildfire that is 0% contained. Oh, we're a lost people, a people that remain in the wilderness because of our unwillingness to resign to the fact that we're God's children and that we are supposed to invest ourselves 100% to what God is calling us to do, to love one another and to care for each other. You know, I have a hard time believing so much hate can come from a country that we know could be so great and could help so many people. I have a hard time believing that evil has been able to permeate so many of our beloved neighbors, friends, and even our own families. I have a hard time believing that we as a country who are predominantly faith-based in our history have backslid so far that an election between two candidates, one who prosecuted Klansmen responsible for the Birmingham church bombing that killed four young girls, and the other a pedophile, would even be a close election. This is our country. I have a hard time believing that I'd ever have to say to any member of my family that their morals and values do not reflect that of God or any decent human being. Yet here I stand. I have a hard time believing, but good God, I know it's true. Because Lord, help us, we need you. Lord, guide us, we're lost. Lord, heal us, we're broken. Because as we approach this Holy Week, the more I thought about the violence in our world, especially the rise in violence and hate in our country, I found myself in prayer, not the typical kind of that lovey-dovey, fluffy kind of prayer, but the good God, what in the world is the matter with us kind of prayer. Lord Jesus, what does the Bible say about violence? I mean, after all, you were subjected to an enemy of the state's punishment, that degrading, humiliating, painful, torturous death. So tell me, God, what do you think? What do you think about sword violence since guns didn't exist? And I quote with that, one of Jesus' companions reached for a sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Matthew 26, 51 to 52. I have to admit, though, shortly after this, Jesus' disciples fled because, well, Jesus was challenging the rules. He was challenging those in positions of authority in the government as long as no one rocked the boat there, the Romans would keep everyone who was possibly a threat in check through the cross. Jesus is there challenging those who think that their rights to possess instruments designed solely for the purpose of causing as much carnage and death and murder as possible. You know that Roman imperial cult. Challenging them that this is more important than the lives of those it seems to be killing most, their own brothers and sisters of the faith. And now here today are kids. Something that seems like it would be, you know, a duh decision. Like a hero from Birmingham versus a sexual predator. Spock would say it's logical, but that election was way too close for my comfort. Where is God in all of this? When is the spilt blood finally going to be enough? When is God going to intervene and finally establish a new covenant with us as he has done throughout history? When can I quit worrying if my daughter's school is going to be the next bloodbath? When can I quit worrying if my church might be the next place to make the news like Mother Emanuel AME in Charleston? And those saints sat there with their murderer for an hour before he killed them, studying the word of God before the very breath of life was taken for him. You know, Brother Clemente, the pastor there, we studied together at the same seminary, and he wasn't just a pastor either, but also a state senator and a voice of reason. A voice of reason in a world of chaos. He was someone who may have one day brought forth ideas and legislation that are logical, but sadly, we are passing our next leaders on to the next generation. And that perpetrator of evil, Dylan Roof, the terrorist who killed him, his sister is spouting the same hate today that her brother did before the killings. What is going on in that household? Gracious God, where are we failing where so much hate can rise up? Let me say this. Without followers, evil can't spread. This is why God, since the creation of humanity, has had to constantly and consistently look down upon us and see our repentant hearts when we finally realize we have messed up too much. Whether a golden calf or a school littered with the dead. You know, I wait the day someone's going to come into my office and ask me, "Pastor, do you think we need an armed guard for the church and the nursery school?" Good God. Lord, forgive us for our iniquity, our sin. The only time I worshiped in a church where there were armed guards was in El Salvador, and walking through the doorway with multiple guys holding MAC-10 standing there checking you out as you walked in, it was not a very awe-inspiring moment. And if it comes to the time when we need an armed guard to watch over my 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds here in this church, then we best be in D.C. knocking on or knocking down doors. We have been permeated too much by sin and evil because of those who either willingly or unknowingly sow those seeds. But there has to be a change somewhere. You know, without followers, evil can't spread. As it seems today, so many have chosen to follow this path instead of the path that Christ calls us down, the one of peace and of love. You know, hate begets hate, violence begets violence, toughness begets a greater toughness. We must meet the forces of hate with the power of love. And those aren't simply the words of an activist. Those are the words that help seal the fate and the faith of a pastor, so much so that he would pay for it with his life. With a .30-06, with a hunting rifle. I know there's horrible stereotypes about Southerners, but brace yourselves. Though I am Southern in my entire life, I have fired a total of 5 shots from a gun. It was at a Boy Scout camporee, and it was a .22. And it was in a competition, and by the way, we won that competition. But that is not the fact that needs to be explained. There's only one person that profits from the fact that the only way to stop a bad person with a gun is a good person with a gun, and that's the person who is making the guns. Beloveds, there's a force among us pitting us against our friends, our neighbors, and our family. There's an evil that has seized our fears and plays them out for us every so often. But Pastor Romy, my obviously better, smarter, and better looking half said last week, we have to entrust ourselves 100% to God, because when we do, it's amazing. It's amazing what can happen. Through all the violence, through all the bloodshed, through all the anger and hate, through all the senseless acts of violence, we will know and we will see how God's perfect love remains with us. Because we will see that we are those vessels of God's love. We will see that we're the vessels of God's forgiveness. And when the day comes, and it will come, beloveds, there will be those who will realize that they are the ones who are the wayward child. And when they seek forgiveness, we, just as that parent did in the Bible, we're going to welcome home that wayward child back with open arms, aren't we? Just as God's arms have been outstretched for us every day of our lives. But that's what perfection is like, to be like God. For then we will know God, and we will know the love and forgiveness that has to exist within all of us and all of God's creation. And we'll be able to live without fear. We'll be able to live without anger, we'll be able to live without hate, and we will be a people lost no more. We'll be a holy and a whole people of God. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.